Let's pray as we come to look at God's word together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, for all it teaches you, teaches us about your love for your world and for your people. We pray that you'll encourage us and teach us through it. Amen. Well, thank you very much for inviting me today. Great pleasure to be with you. As Andy said, I'm a volunteer speaker for Tear Fund. I live just on the other side of Derby, so this is one of my closer engagements. It's nice not to have to get up too early to travel, which is great. And first thing I want to say is to thank you as a church and as individuals for your support for Tear Fund, for your giving and for your prayers. We couldn't do what we do without you. Simple as that. We need people like you to continue to give to our work. This year, I don't suppose it's escaped your notice that the world has been celebrating yet another anniversary. This year it was the 50th anniversary of men landing on the moon. Now, some of you may remember seeing that on the flickering black and white television screens of the day. And the year before that, we had another first. It was the first time that we saw on our TV screens, in our living rooms, suffering in the wider world. We saw starving children as a result of the Nigerian Civil War, as Biafra had tried to break away from the rest of the country. And suddenly, we became very aware of tragedy out in the world. And as a result, many Christians wanted to help. The offices of the Evangelical Alliance, which was a grouping of churches across the country, EA were inundated with checks and letters pleading for them to use their church contacts to send help to Nigeria. And as a result, 51 years ago now, the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund, Tear Fund for short, was born. And we helped with others to save 1 million lives in that conflict. Last year, 50 years on from those small beginnings, we provided life-saving help to over 1 million people caught up in disasters. We helped about 3.8 million people through our long-term development work. And over 91,000 people across the country supported our work. And as a result of that giving and working with other agencies and with the government, we were able to give over £75 million to our partners in 50 countries around the world. It's a start. It's a start in the enormous battle against poverty. Because there are still areas of desperate poverty, aren't there? We see them from time to time on our televisions. We see pictures from Yemen, from Syria, and from other countries around the world that remind us that poverty is still there. But there is really good news. The number of people in absolute poverty has dropped dramatically over the last 40 or 50 years. The World Bank estimates that in 1980, 44% of the world, nearly half the world's population, lived on less than $2 a day. In 2015, that estimate had dropped from nearly half down to less than 10%. 9% of the world's population live on less than $2 a day, which is a definition of absolute poverty. And that's in a time when the world's population has grown enormously. It's grown from about 4.5 billion to 7 billion. It's a dramatic fall. Poverty is being beaten, but there are still nearly 1 billion people 1 billion people living in absolute poverty. So change is happening. Change is happening. And we believe that's part of God's plan for humanity. As Jesus' death and resurrection inaugurated God's kingdom on earth, God works through his people, through his church, through you and me, to extend that kingdom, to reveal his love, and to change lives. So as we pray week by week, your kingdom come, we're praying for change here and now. For God's kingdom to impact us today, and for God's rule to extend across the world. That's what we're praying for. And that's a big vision. So the question is, how do you and I get involved? And how does Jesus show it happening? Well, we caught a glimpse of that, didn't we, in our second reading from Mark chapter 6, as we heard the story of the feeding of the 5,000. We heard a story that describes great need. It was a time when people were thronging to hear Jesus. They wanted to listen to him. They wanted to be taught by him. They wanted to be healed by him. They were falling over themselves to get to him. In Luke chapter 12, there's a little verse which says, they were trampling on each other to get close to Jesus. Jesus' message attracted huge crowds of needy people. There was spiritual hunger throughout Israel. They wanted to hear from God. And on this occasion as well, there was material hunger. There were lots of people with empty tummies. They were hungry. And that's true today, isn't it, as well? The world is full of people hungry for spiritual truth, hungry for hope, for peace, for meaning to life. And we still have 1 billion people living in extreme poverty, wondering where their next meal is coming from. So how does this passage that we just read help us to work out our response? How does that show us how Tear Fund works in response to God's call? Well, firstly, it shows us our responsibility, and then it shows us our response. Our responsibility to those in need is following Jesus. Tear Fund says we follow Jesus where the need is greatest. Jesus went to the heart of people's needs. Verse 34 says he had compassion on the crowd. They were like sheep without a shepherd. They had no one to teach them the truth about God. So Jesus taught them. He taught them about God's love for them. He taught them about their worth in God's kingdom. And he taught them about himself. But his compassion extended to their physical needs as well. It was a bit unlike the disciples, who were inclined to let the people fend for themselves. When Jesus said, what are we going to do about all these hungry people? The disciples said, well, send them away. Let them go and find food for themselves. And we can understand the disciples' reaction, can't we? They were tired. They'd done a lot of ministry already. They wanted to head home and put their feet up. Send them away, they said. We can't be bothered. We don't have the energy. We don't have the compassion to deal with all these hungry people. But Jesus doesn't let them off the hook. He says, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. He challenges them. And he challenges us too. We can't just turn a blind eye to those in need. We can't just follow our culture, selfishly oblivious to poverty at home and overseas. We can't turn off. Because throughout Scripture, we see God expressing his care for the poor, the weak, the widows, and the orphans. As he did in our first reading, when Elijah came to the widow, who had just a tiny little bit of oil and a little bit of flour, enough to make one last meal before she and her son completely ran out of food. God came in there and said, "No, I will make sure you have enough to see you through the drought." God cares for the have-nots in society. And so our responsibility is to care for those in need as God cares and as God commands. And that brings us to the second question, doesn't it? How can we respond? When the need's so great, how can I make a difference? Well, the disciples were completely overwhelmed, weren't they? 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough to provide bread for one meal for this vast crowd. Even if we got that sort of money, what a waste. 8 months' wages on just one meal for this lot. Surely not, Jesus. But Jesus turns the problem round. He doesn't focus on what they haven't got, but he focuses on what they have got. What have you got? Well, just 5 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. But he takes what little they have, he blesses it, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, it's more than enough. Because with God, less is more. Jesus takes what little they have and he makes it enough. And that's what most of Tearfund's work is about. We support our partners around the world, teaching and training people to make the most of what they have. Not focusing on what they haven't got, but helping them to look at what they've got with fresh eyes, to use it better, to develop new skills, to encourage them to grow into the people that Jesus wants them to be. We've got a short film now, just about 3.5 minutes, to show one lady in Nigeria who's been helped both spiritually and materially through our work, through the work of one of our partners, helping her to make the most of what little she has. So are we working with that, Stephen?
Life in this community can be very difficult. What makes life so difficult is the lack of food. My dream is to have enough money to meet all our needs. I will pay for my children's education, build a good house, and have savings to deal with any problems that we face. My name is Ruth, and I am married with 6 children. 3 have left home, and sadly, 1 passed away. So I live with my husband and 2 youngest children. We suffer periods of hunger that sometimes last 5 or 6 months. Then we just eat 1 meal a day, and I have to forage for food and live off the little that we have and are able to grow. I try my very best, but the times when I cannot provide food for my children is a huge problem for me. Sometimes my children are sent away from school because I can't afford to pay the fees. Fetching firewood is our only source of income to take care of the family.
Kokida communities a very poor community, lacking potable drinking water, has poor agricultural practices, but the greatest challenge is inadequate food. We have started addressing the needs of these communities by organizing Church Awakening Bible Studies through the support of CareFund that would eventually help communities lift themselves out of poverty. Through the process, there have been self-help groups that have been formed.
I joined a self-help savings and loans group 1 year ago, and it has helped me make a change in my life. After the first year out, I bought 2 bags of fertilizer. In the past, I harvested 3 to 5 bags of maize, but last harvest yielded 13 bags. The church facilitators also taught us to diversify our crops. If I plant one bean and it yields, I can harvest about 70 to 80 beans. I also bought a chicken and 2 pigs, so I thank God for what He has been doing in my life. It awakened me to look for opportunities, and it has helped my faith. Now I put my trust in God. Our farm is very small and not large enough to sell the produce, so I hope to breed livestock. That way, anytime I have a problem, I can sell them to meet our needs, because I have a lot of needs. But still, my most urgent challenge is lack of food and periods of hunger. I want people to pray for me, that God will protect me and God will guide me, that there will be total transformation for my family. I believe the self-help group will bring about that change.
Small changes have started to transform Ruth's life.
With this little, it will one day be something.
Give what you can and see how your gifts are powerful in God's hands.
We see from the film there, at the heart of our community transformation schemes, we help people to see things differently. To focus not on what they don't have, but on what they do have. Ruth knew how to grow maize, but she wasn't growing it effectively. She learned how to grow it more effectively. Through studying the Bible, through the self-help group, sharing with each other, they understood their own worth in God's sight and how God cares for them. Through the work of our partner, setting up the self-help group, they were able to share together, putting in tiny amounts each week, which allows them to take out a loan. And the self-help group, supported by our partners, then guides them into the ways of most effectively using those loans. Fertilizer first, diversifying crops, so that the hunger gap, so often people like Ruth, their food runs out after 6 months of the year. They have to wait for the next crop to come along. And they have very, very little for 6 months. When you diversify your crops, you can spread the harvest. So you fill the hunger gap. It's also about teaching people how to grow different types of crops, different methods of agriculture. When it comes to keeping livestock, folk who've never kept livestock before don't have a clue. I wouldn't know where to start looking after a pig. People are taught how to do that. I've seen it for myself in Cambodia when I was there a few years ago on a speaker's trip, and I will happily tell you afterwards the story of the completely failed fish farm. Nobody would. They gave up on the fish farm. I don't have enough time to tell you about that today. But it's the working with people like Ruth to help them find the ways in which they can lift themselves out of poverty. Less becomes more. It restores Ruth's dignity and self-worth. It gives her strength as she looks forward, can see that there are ways in which she can cope with the future. I don't know whether you noticed her aspirations right at the beginning of that film. They're the ones we all have, aren't they? To have a home we call our own. To have enough food for our families. To be able to educate our children. It's helping her become the person that God intends her to be. At the start, I asked the question, what difference can we make? How could our response be? At Tear Fund, we believe that we all, every one of us, can make a difference. We're all God's people, called to work with Him to grow His kingdom. It takes very little to make a difference. 40 pence a week, £12 a month, provides training for two people like Ruth through a self-help group to help them feed their families. There are some cards on the chairs. If you are able to give a small amount each month, I'd love to hear from you. Do fill in the cards, do come and talk to me afterwards. It's very important for Tear Fund that we have regular giving. We can see giving coming in month by month, because that helps us to plan how we're going to work in the future. But we love the gifts that come from churches as well, year by year. It's absolutely fantastic. It keeps us going. But if you are able to help in any way on a regular basis, I'd love to talk to you afterwards. As we finish, let's pray. Ruth said, I pray that God will protect and guide me, that there will be total transformation in my family. Loving and faithful Father, we praise you for your love and mercy. Thank you for listening to us, for taking an interest in every area of our lives. Thank you that you understand our needs and that you provide ways for us to help others in need. We lift up Ruth and her family to you, and we pray with expectant faith for her prayers to be answered, that she will feel God's guidance and protection, and that she will experience total transformation. We place our gifts and our lives in your hands and ask you to use us for your glory. Amen.